serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Apparently, the several Biden backers, folks on the Biden team, they were spiking the football. They were spiking the football. You would say they were spiking the football early. But let's be honest, even if they actually brokered a ceasefire, little late, kind of, isn't it? I mean, think about it. It's a little late, but they're like, yeah, we let this war go on for months and months and months and months, and but look at how great we are for negotiating a ceasefire. Well, while there's still over 130 hostages, including a young 19-year-old woman who's being held hostage by these savage Hamas terrorists. Oh, yeah, look at how great we are. Look at how great Joe Biden is. Look at how great Blinken is, who's on another taxpayer-funded trip somewhere nice and warm right now. Look at how great we are. We negotiated a ceasefire. It's like, wait a minute. First off, apparently that didn't happen. No, there was no ceasefire negotiated. But second off, you know, we never even would have had these October 7th terrorist attacks if Donald J. Trump was still the president of the United States. They know the fury that would have been unleashed if Donald J. Trump were still the president of the United States. And we wouldn't even have this whole war in the Middle East right now if it wasn't for a weak foreign policy team in the White House and at the State Department. I mean, it's worth reminding these folks of this. Meanwhile, oh my goodness, the nut jobs on the University of Washington campus, they're now setting up an encampment, kind of like what they did during their Summer of Love. You know, the Summer of Love, when they were flashing lasers in the eyes of U.S. Marshals protecting courthouses. You know, when they were, you know, setting up encampments where people were dying inside the encampments. And, of course, you know, they were burning down police precinct offices. They were targeting law enforcement with violent attacks. Yeah, that's Summer of Love. Remember when they created their own little zone that they controlled? They set up their own fences. They set up their own borders. They had their own guys with guns creating their own little Summer of Love encampment in downtown Seattle. Well, now apparently at the University of Washington, what are they calling it? The University of Gaza. And so these left-wing nut jobs are setting up another encampment there. How much crazier are things going to get? I mean, how many months do we still have left here of the Joe Biden administration? At least 8 months, right? If potentially more if the American people don't get the job done this November. And so how much worse will things get? How much crazier can things get as this weakness continues to invite more attacks, not only abroad, and more security concerns here domestically, but also this weak response from these liberal college campuses, typically in these blue liberal states that are, well, led by blue liberals, of course, their weak response to these pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers just continues to invite more of these attacks on these college campuses. But then again, you know, hey, it's their party. It's the monster they created. So they're just getting bit by the monster they created.
Securing America.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken delivered the keynote address Monday at the RSA Security Conference in San Francisco, which focuses on IT in the digital world.
Today's revolutions in technology are at the heart of our competition with geopolitical rivals. They pose a real test to our security.
Adding
stability, prosperity, they are no longer solely analog matters. We're committed not to digital sovereignty, but digital solidarity.
Blinken says the key is for countries to work together to establish a position of strength and form important new norms. The secretary warned against countries using AI and digital tech to repress human rights and employ biological and crypto warfare.
The rules, the standards, the norms that societies follow are going to determine whether this technology is used for good or whether it's used for ill.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman.
Well, stay with cloudy skies and some developing rain showers in the area today, especially in the afternoon and evening. High temperature readings will range from the lower 50s in Billings to the mid-40s in Bozeman. For tonight, rain showers continue mixing with or turning to snow in some areas around the Bozeman area, where accumulations of around an inch possible. Otherwise, low temperatures back in the 30s across the region. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey. If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, the Billings Gazette finally had a story. I say the Billings Gazette, really, it's the Lee newspapers, because it was the Helena IR state capitol reporter, you know, the biased Democrat spokespeople that pretend to be reporters for the Lee newspapers. They finally did a story about the illegal aliens in Kalispell. They finally did a story about this, and they still didn't even get the story. They provided basically one big cover story for this outfit that's trafficking illegal aliens in the Flathead Valley. This is just pathetic. I see this story: migrant family, Flathead nonprofit ensnared in immigration debate. It's a story by Holly Michaels, who's basically, I mean, if the Democrats need a storyline put out there, Holly Michaels will put it out there. I'm not being mean. It's just a fact. But this story, this was just shameful. This was a pathetic report on the Valley Neighbors story out of Kalispell. Not even one tough question. Valley Neighbors is refusing to do interviews, is refusing to respond to requests for information right now. Oh, but let's go to Holly Michaels with the Lee newspapers, because she'll copy and paste whatever we send her. The whole report is basically her attacking and questioning the sheriff of Flathead County, the county commissioners of Flathead County, the congressman, the governor, everybody, but the people that are actually trafficking these illegal aliens in Kalispell, Montana. And in her report, she says, well, did they confirm the status of the migrant family before they criticized Valley Neighbors last week, when these illegal aliens reportedly from Venezuela showed up on the doorstep of the Flathead County Sheriff? But then I read Holly Michaels' own report, and it's like, Holly, did you even bother to ask the question of Valley Neighbors? What's the so-called status of these people from Venezuela that showed up last week? I mean, apparently you talked with them because you copied and pasted all of their partisan BS talking points. Did you bother to ask them? I mean, you're sitting here lecturing everybody else in the state of Montana about, well, they didn't even check their immigration status before they attacked Valley Neighbors. Well, we had the sheriff say that they're illegal aliens who crossed the southern border illegally, who went to New York City, who then got flown somehow to Kalispell, Montana. And on the Valley Neighbors website, you say that you help people of all status, of all immigration statuses, which includes illegals. So here's Holly Michaels, this reporter, lecturing elected officials, lecturing you, lecturing Montanans, while she basically copies and pastes the BS talking points of this outfit in Kalispell that is trafficking illegal aliens. Did you, Holly, bother to even ask them what the immigration status is or was of these people that showed up on the doorstep of the Flathead County Sheriff? And no mention in her report that the head of the Flathead County Democrats also heads up this Valley Neighbors outfit. And then the other thing is, how many days did you wait to report the news Look, I predicted this on Twitter last week, X. Pretty easy to do, of course, because these people are so predictable. They're going to wait several days, and then they're going to soften up the story to make this outfit, try to make this outfit look better. They won't cover the news when the news happens, when it's bad news for their side. These people landed in Kalispell last Wednesday night. I was already aware of it Thursday morning, mentioned, you know, a heads up on Thursday morning on the show. And then on Friday, we had the story. Saturday passes, Sunday passes, Monday afternoon. Finally, Lee Newspapers has a story. My goodness. Nancy in Roundup wants to weigh in on this topic. Nancy, what's going on?
Well, I tell you something. I am so pissed off over this. I read your article, Montana Talks article, and I was going to ask, how many exactly were dumped in Kalispell? Do you know?
Well,
was it one family or more?
This was just, I believe, five people from last Wednesday. But you and I know there's way more than that that are sneaking in all across the state.
And what I want to know is Ron Garson. He's head of this Democratic Party. And let me tell you something. Between John Tester and the Democrat Party, we don't have to go visit the southern border because they're bringing the border to us now.
That's right.
And I'm going to call our governor later on today, and I'm going to demand that these people involved be investigated and also arrested because they are harboring illegal aliens, which is a felony. And we can't have this because the Flathead. There's a water shortage to begin with, and if we start overpopulating these areas, I mean, our ranchers and our farmers are worried about water this summer anyway, and I am just so outraged over this. I can't get over it, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call the governor. I think these people need to be arrested, and these Valley family neighbors, they need to be arrested, and they need to be fined. And that's all there is to it. I mean, this is just absolutely outrageous. I hope everybody gets in on this and votes in cause the governor.
Well, you know, it's crazy. They admit on their own website that they help people who broke the law by invading this country illegally. They admit it on their website. That place should have been raided last week. They should be auditing every single scrap of paper, every book inside this Valley Neighbors outfit in Kalispell. I mean, it is outrageous. Nancy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We'll hit our hard break, and then we'll be back right after the Farm and Ranch Report.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is just that, Minority Leader. But Jeffries recently suggested on CBS that it didn't matter if Democrats were in the majority or not, because they were effectively running the House of Representatives and getting done what they want. So is there essentially a Democratic Speaker of the House now? Quote, "It makes no difference to me if it's Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker or Mike Johnson right now," said GOP Colorado Representative Lauren Boebert. "I mean, we're passing the Democrat agenda anyway." I asked Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy if Johnson was now weaker relying on Democratic votes. Quote, "He's already been relying on Democratic votes," said Roy. That's true. Johnson turned to Democrats to avoid multiple government shutdowns and pass the foreign aid package. Most Democrats were especially pleased that Johnson greenlighted a bundle of money for Ukraine. So is this great for Johnson and stability in the House? Maybe right now, but there could be major downsides later for Johnson. It could give those who might want his job an opportunity to use Democratic support as a wedge. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, livestock producers who lose unborn animals to weather-related disasters would qualify for aid through the Livestock Indemnity Program under a Farm Bill proposal that two Texas lawmakers are introducing following the devastating wildfires that scorched the Lone Star State's panhandle this year, killing more than 7,000 adult cattle. The change to LIP would apply to losses since January 1st. Now, the Livestock Indemnity Program Enhancement Act would also add a payment for diseases and even predator attacks. Among others, this bill is supported by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the NCBA. In some other news here on this Tuesday morning, you know, we still raise a lot of sugar beet acres out here in Western Ag Network country, including Colorado, Idaho, Montana, North Dakota, and Nebraska. And not only is a strong domestic sugar policy important for sugar beet farmers, but also sugar workers. And according to the American Sugar Alliance, sugar workers who are members of the International Association of Machinists were recently back on Capitol Hill talking about how a strong U.S. sugar policy supports union jobs across the entire country. And many of America's sugar processing facilities are, of course, in rural areas where jobs are limited, and sugar workers praise the opportunities that they have been provided by working in the U.S. sugar industry. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
1874, barbed wire was patented and ranching was forever changed. Now, 150 years later, ranchers continue to tackle tough challenges with new innovations, like RangeView from EndView. By providing a data-driven view of the land, RangeView helps you get the most out of your grazing management, rangeland health, and herbicide treatment decisions. See how the latest innovation in ranching can help you at TryRangeView.com. RangeView is a trademark owned by Environmental Science US LLC or one of its affiliates. Not all products are registered in all states.
If your tractor needs to be fixed, you go to a tractor mechanic, not a car shop. So if you want to grow your agriculture business, shouldn't you go to a lender that specializes in agriculture? That's AgWest Farm Credit. We've been 100% focused on agriculture for over 100 years. So we understand your challenges, and we have the deep financial knowledge and experience to help you reach your goals and grow your future. See how we can help at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, the Montana Stock Growers Association has filed a motion to intervene in Flathead Lolo Bitterroot Citizen Task Force versus State of Montana in partnership with the Montana Wool Growers and the Montana Farm Bureau Federation. In April, the plaintiffs filed a motion to enjoin the trapping and snaring of coyotes in occupied grizzly bear habitat when bears are reasonably certain to be out of their dens. This means that the judge now must consider whether or not to limit coyote trapping and snaring. The judge has set oral arguments for June 25th in Missoula. And finally this morning, the University of Wyoming welcomes Mandy Marney as Director of UW Extension and Associate Dean of the College of Agriculture, Life Sciences, and Natural Resources. Marnie joined UW Extension in 2020 as the Associate Director and was named Senior Associate Director in 2022. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemeth.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, we had some great messages that came in on the Montana Talks app yesterday that for some reason I didn't get a chance to get to. I apologize, but let's see. Right on, John sent us a great one, and so did Bruce and Ennis yesterday morning. Democrats want affordable housing, yet they block the timber industry. They want affordable transportation, and they block oil and gas production. That was from Right on John yesterday. By the way, speaking of transportation, I had to laugh. So Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, you know, apparently he was supposed to be in Missoula, Montana. He was in Missoula yesterday, and we all know why he was in Missoula. He's here to try to help prop up Joe Biden and John Tester. That's why you're all of a sudden starting to see all these Biden cabinet members. I almost mentioned this when Evelyn was talking about the head of the SBA being in town when she talked about that yesterday. It's like, oh, the head of the SBA came. Oh, and now Pete Buttigieg came to Missoula. And we had A.G. Merrick Garland coming here recently. Oh, all of a sudden, these Biden administration folks want to come visit Montana. It's almost as if they're deliberately coming here because they're trying to prop up John Tester before the November 2024 election. Huh, kind of funny how that happens. It's almost as if James O'Keefe got a Biden administration official on camera in an undercover investigation, basically admitting that this is exactly what they are doing. I need to pull up that audio again that I shared. I think I shared this with you last week. It was one of our listeners who spotted that James O'Keefe piece. But anyway, Pete Buttigieg was in Missoula yesterday bragging about money that went to the Missoula airport. Now, we've gotten money for the Missoula airport in the past, but Pete Buttigieg really wants you to know about the money that the Missoula airport got this time around, because he wants you to think of that the next time you realize how expensive your groceries are, how expensive your gas is, how expensive everything is right now because of massive government spending. So Pete Buttigieg is trying to desperately to help John Tester's narrative here. But what I found really funny is apparently Buttigieg was supposed to visit Missoula like a while back. He was supposed to be there a while back. But then, of course, you know, we had a massive bridge collapse in Maryland. So, you know, so Pete Buttigieg, he's been wanting to come to Missoula for quite some time now. But in the midst of all the disasters in the transportation industry under his watch, it's been really hard to find time to come to a ribbon-cutting event to try to prop up Liberal Senator John Tester ahead of November 2024. Amidst all the disasters that Mayor Pete, the guy who couldn't fix potholes in Indiana, is overseeing. By the way, I'm deliberately talking about that story now so that we don't have to hear John Jackson's nickname for Mayor Pete later in the morning.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Her attorney says Stormy Daniels is expected to testify today at former President Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York.
She is expected to testify, of course, about getting paid off by Michael Cohen to keep her alleged affair with the former president secret so that Mr. Trump's presidential candidacy would not be hurt if the allegations of that alleged one-night stand was made public before the election for the voters to find out.
Fox's Eric Shawn, after telling civilians to leave, the Israeli military is on the ground in the city of Rafah in Gaza, taking control of a border crossing with Egypt.
Officials say the operation was very precise and very limited, and say it was only in specific areas of eastern Rafah. Israel claims the Gaza side of the crossing was being used for terror activity. The IDF says Hamas fired mortars toward Israel's border from the area of the crossing over the weekend.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. America's listening to Fox News.
Man, sometimes I forget about all the great topics that we could talk about until I start to organize my show prep. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about this story where Donald Trump was making fun of John Tester. Get to that one here as well for you this morning. But one thing I want to go back to, I opened up the 6 o'clock hour by talking about, you know, look, the fact is this point needs to continue to be made here. The Biden administration, you know, folks inside the Biden administration on the Biden campaign, they were spiking the football, claiming that a ceasefire had been negotiated between Israel and the Hamas terrorists. And look, here's the deal. Okay, even if you did negotiate a ceasefire, first off, if Donald Trump were the president of the United States, we never would have had the October 7th terrorist attacks in the first place. We never would have a war going on right now in the first place. Just like Russia wouldn't have invaded Ukraine, but it was the weakness of the Biden administration that invited all this. And then I mentioned how these left-wing nut jobs on these college campuses, now at the University of Washington, they're setting up an encampment there, which is so reminiscent of the George Floyd riots when they took over a whole portion of downtown Seattle.
There's a brand new so-called liberated zone that has popped up on campus at University of Washington. This is what anti-Israel activists are now calling the University of Gaza. They say they've established this autonomous zone on UW's campus. It even has a library and a medic area with approximately 50 tents now set up. This is a list of the demands that activists are making to UW, including divestment from Israel, the cutting of ties with Boeing, and the ending of so-called repressions of pro-Palestine students, faculty, and staff.
The cutting of ties with Boeing. Why not add Microsoft to the list while you're at it? Oh, that's right, because Bill Gates is the guy who's funding these anti-Semitic groups. Bill Gates is the guy who's funding this nonsense. Bill Gates, the guy who was real good buddies with Jeff Epstein, is the one who's funding these left-wing, anti-American, anti-Jewish, anti-Semitic campus nut jobs right now. Let's see. One thing I was going to mention when Nancy in Roundup called in. Nancy in Roundup was, of course, talking about how angry she is at this news about these illegal aliens who were dumped in Kalispell, Montana, and she wants the state to take some action. Later today, Nancy, I was going to mention this earlier, but I had to go to that hard break. But later this morning, at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, Speaker of the House Matt Regeer out of Kalispell, he's going to join us on this show and talk about a call for a special session of the legislature to focus on illegal immigration. So anyway, I'll mention one thing I think that they could do if they have a special session. Well, let's just mention it right now. It only takes 15 seconds. Texas passed a law to give them the authority to go after the illegal aliens in their state. That law survived court battles. So there you go. Maybe we take that, get that into law in Montana, and strengthen our ability to go after them. Anyway, that's just one thought.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, see, to me, this isn't helpful. This is not a helpful headline. If you're somebody who wants to see a special session of the Montana legislature to go after this illegal immigration strategy, well, then, to me, you've got to keep it focused on that. The reason why every single call to have a special session of the legislature fails is because people are concerned that, okay, you call a special session of the legislature, then you show up in Helena. Now it's let's play ball. It's fair game. Anything can be done. And so people are concerned that it basically would turn into like a runaway session where now, okay, potentially this could happen, potentially that could happen. I mean, even with a Republican supermajority, you really can't take anything for granted of what could happen during a special session of the legislature. And so I think if all of the Republican lawmakers felt that, okay, if we did a special session of the legislature, and this is one of the questions I'm going to, you know, probably throw out there as we chat with Speaker of the House Matt Regeer later this morning. This is one of the questions I'll probably throw out there, and you guys will have better questions than I will, of course, as always. But is, hey, I think if people felt, if these Republican lawmakers felt that a special session would be solely focused on one task, like, okay, let's do a special session of the legislature. Let's take laws that are on the books down in Texas. So see, the problem here in Montana, the challenge is that our legislature meets every other year, and they only meet for, 90 days, right? And so the rest of this, so everybody all year long can say, well, if I were governor, I'd do this. Well, I think the legislature needs to do that. Well, okay, good for you, but the legislature doesn't meet until next spring unless they do a special session of the legislature. And so I think that more legislators would be open to the idea of a special session if they believe that it can be narrowly focused on cracking down on illegal immigration. Here's the challenge right now, of course, is any effort we take, whether it's a local sheriff, local law enforcement, county commissioners, state agencies, any effort they take to crack down on illegal aliens, aside from giving them a bus pass to California, is going to be met with a very hostile response from the Biden administration. The federal government is going to fight you every step of the way. And that point was made by Flathead County Commissioner Randy Brodell, because they had an illegal alien in Kyla, Montana, that actually stabbed a guy. But because the guy didn't want to press charges, because the guy who got stabbed didn't want to press charges against the illegal alien, the Biden administration's folks at ICE were saying, well, we're not going to deport him. Sorry, we're not going to even detain him because, well, yeah, he stabbed somebody, but the guy's not going to press charges. It's like, wait a minute. Whether the guy stabbed somebody or not, he's in this country illegally. Get him the heck out of here. But he stabbed somebody. You would think it would be even easier. No, they still had to fight and maneuver to get that guy out of here. They had to go back, find more on his criminal background and say, look, okay, you guys are saying you're not going to deport him because the guy he stabbed doesn't want to press charges against him. But look, this guy's got a long criminal rap sheet here. Deport him. And so that's what it finally took to get the Biden administration's folks at ICE to take action. You know as well as I do that the great men and women that work in U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and in our Border Patrol, you know as well as I do, they would have loved to get that guy out of here. But, of course, the Joe Biden, John Tester policies are on the books, and they're being hampered every step of the way. And so that's the case. That's the case in point, is that, like, we had somebody stab somebody and look at how hard they had to fight to get that one guy deported. Now, add to that the fact that we have all these illegal aliens that are all over the state. But we, you know, how is the state to know who they are, where they are, and how to get them out of here? Right. So that's one of the challenges. But one thing I saw House Majority Leader Sue Vinton had commented on, I think, this story that I shared via Facebook, facebook.com/Flint Report. I had shared this story out of Kalispell with these illegal aliens being dumped in the Flathead Valley. And she made a comment about, hey, the legislature needs to get together and take some action. And one idea that I threw out that actually I got to give credit to Eric Maldonado up in the Flathead. I was chatting with Eric Maldonado after Friday's show, and he made a great point. He said, look, Texas has passed laws to further embolden them and enable them to go after the illegal aliens in their state. And that Texas law has survived court battles, has survived federal court battles. Because you remember before, you've had like the Ninth Circuit, I think it was, and other federal courts come in and say, nope, you cities and you states, you can't go after illegal aliens. That's not your job. That's the job of the federal government. So they've told them that they can't do anything about it. Well, Texas passed a new law, and that law has survived. And I believe there's three or four other states that have done something similar. Now, in these other states, though, they have a legislature that meets either full time or a lot more frequently than our legislature meets. Our legislature only meets every other year. So they would have to call a special session to get like this Texas law on the books. So, again, if they keep it narrowly focused on that, I think they'd be more likely to actually get a call for a special session. But I think then I just saw a headline here, though, because, you know, my understanding is that the people who want to see a special session of the legislature, they want to keep it focused on the illegal alien invasion and empowering the state to be able to do more to crack down on that. But then I see a headline here, hardline Republicans call for special session on judicial reform. Well, judicial reform is great, but Here's my concern is that the more these legislators see different headlines about, well, if we have a special session, we'll do this. And if we have a special session, we'll do that. And then if we have a special session, we'll do this and this and this. The concern that I have is that now you've got a lot of these legislators who will see all these conflicting headlines and say, OK, here we go. It's going to turn into a runaway special session. All right, let's deal with this in the spring during our regular legislative session. Anyway, that's just the one, you know, cautionary note that I throw out there. But like I say, we're going to have Speaker of the House Matt Regeer join us here later this morning to talk about a call for a special session of the legislature. Let's see. Maxine Waters. I mean, look at this. I mean, Maxine Waters and John Tester are in allowing an invasion of America to take place right now. Criminal illegal aliens are invading this country right now. But Maxine Waters thinks you're the threat.
As I said, you can't believe anything that Donald Trump has to say. Donald Trump will do any and everything that he can possibly get away with. He does not at all support the Constitution of the United States of America. This is a man who we better be careful about. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask the Justice Department and I'm going to ask the President to tell us what they're going to do to protect this country against violence if he loses. I want to know about all of those right-wing organizations that he's connected with. who are training up in the hills somewhere and targeting, you know, what communities they're going to attack. We need to know now, given that he's telling us that there's going to be violence if he loses. We need to know what his plan is and how we're going to be protected.
My goodness, Maxine Waters, what a racist nut job she is. I'm telling you, there's people up in the hills right now. What is that? Like Beverly Hillbillies? They're up there in them our hills. They're training right now to cause violence in this country. Okay, they're training to commit violence in this country. Maxine, because of you and John Tester's open borders policies, there's not just Mexican drug cartels training for violence in America. There's not just pro-Palestinian rioters training for violence in America. They're already doing it, Maxine. Your side is already committing violent attacks all across America. The drug cartels are targeting Native American women in particular on our reservations here in Montana and elsewhere across the West. They're already committing violent attacks. And by the way, the people that are out there training in the hills, they're getting ready for hunting season. And you've got fathers and sons out there that are having some time together and doing what families should be doing, which is spending time together. And anyway, like, man, I'm telling you, these people are just nuts. And while they undermine our United States Constitution, while they attack our Constitution with anti-Second Amendment rules and regulations, they claim that Donald Trump's a threat to the Constitution. The Constitution that they treat like silly putty, they claim that Donald Trump's a threat to that. Anyway, let's see. Speaking of Donald J. Trump, he spoke on the steps of the courthouse once again yesterday. Plus, Mike Davis had some great insight on the political persecution trial of Donald J. Trump as well. Maybe we'll get to that next.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Let me even give a shout out to the New York Times and their editor slamming the Biden White House but whining about the press. They want to be covered by Pravda. He can't keep up the rigors of running for president. You know, it's one of the reasons Joe Biden, he's no longer can go up the big boy stairs on Air Force One. So they put him on the little boy stairs with Secret Service agents following him up the stairs in case he falls flat on his face on the little boy stairs. That's why now they won't let him walk to Marine One because he looks so old and frail and looks like he's about to fall over. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But you're going to tell us, oh, quality over quantity? So he's going to give short speeches. I just want to say, vote for me. Bye. See you later.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Joe Biden wants you taxed to the brink, under the thumb of the IRS, and controlled with a digital dollar. That's why thousands of hardworking, patriotic Americans are opting out by diversifying their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And guess what? Sean Hannity is doing the same. He's been purchasing precious metals like gold and silver from the top-rated company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. And they've placed over $2 billion in precious metal sales for people just like you. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. That's right, up to $10,000 in bonus silver, but only while supplies last. So if you're looking to diversify your savings, call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, let's see. Had some great messages that came in here on the Montana Talks app. Oh, won't read that one on air, but thanks for the message. Okay. Let's see. Bruce in Ennis. No, we aren't going to have a special session for laws for illegals. There's laws on the books. If New York can charge Trump with federal law, then we can certainly charge an illegal with breaking the law. I hear you, Bruce. Thanks for that message. Let's see. Right on John sent us a message earlier. Sorry, I'm just now getting to this one. He makes a great point here. If I remember correctly, Hamas wants to trade the 130 hostages for over 700 people, let's just say criminals, in Israeli jails. I would not make a lopsided deal like this. Yeah, right on, John. Thanks, right on, John, for the message. Tim and Savage knows exactly what I was talking about. Mayor Pete. Yeah, Mayor Pete, the guy who couldn't even fill potholes in Indiana as mayor, but he checks some woke checkboxes, so they make him the Secretary of Transportation, and he's been a miserable failure. It's just sad. I mean, look at all the problems we've been having in the transportation sector under his watch. Failure after failure after failure. Oh, but he shows up in Missoula to brag about some money that went to the airport. How much more could we have gotten for airports in Montana, but it's going to all these illegal aliens and all these other countries instead there, Mayor Pete? But Tim and Savage says, you know, it's Tuesday and you're talking about Mayor Pete. Prepare for an inappropriate comment about Mayor. I'm not even going to say the nickname that the Joker uses. And 5-4. That's why I brought the story up at 6:30 in the morning, Tim, instead of at 8 when John Jackson's from here. You know, it's, I know it's always the most unwoke hour of the week, but whenever he uses that nickname of Mayor Pete Buttigieg, I'm like, oh, that one feels like it's over the top. That one feels like it's over the top. Oh, man. Okay, let's see. Mike Davis, founder of the Article 3 Project, summarizes the latest news out of the Trump political persecution trial in New York City.
Yes, you have this Democrat's Manhattan judge who donated to Biden and whose adult daughter, Lauren Michonne, is raising millions of dollars off of this case, working with a Biden Democrat political appointee and Democrat National Committee consultant Matthew Colangelo to illegally gag a criminal defendant during his trial while they let Michael Cohen, a disbarred attorney and perjurer, go on TikTok and make money trashing Trump. And if Trump mentions any of that, this judge is threatening to put Trump in jail. This is clearly unconstitutional. This is clearly lawfare and Democrat election interference.
Now, one of the things that Trump said, I guess that got him tagged with the gag order violation, seemed, at least the part I read, maybe I missed part of it, but the part I read, Trump is basically saying this is a Democrat jurisdiction with a Democrat, you know, likely Democrat jury, and I'm not going to get a fair shake here. How is that, even the terms of the actual gag order, how is that violating the gag order? He's not personally attacking people. He's not naming people. So even under the illegal gag order, that doesn't seem to be a violation of it.
And that proves that this gag order is both overbroad and vague. It's clearly unconstitutional. It is a prior restraint on Trump's constitutional rights. Gag orders are supposed to protect criminal defendants, not the government, to make sure criminal defendants have their constitutional rights to a fair trial, in a speedy, fair public and speedy trial. This judge and this Biden Democrat prosecutor, they have turned the Constitution on its head from shield into a sword.
All right, great segment there with Mike Davis and Laura Ingraham on The Angle on Fox News last night. Of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here, 1450 KMMS Bozeman, 970 KBUL Billings. President Trump from the steps of the courthouse, well, not the steps, just from the freaking street corner of the courthouse where the political persecution trial has been underway in New York. We'll play that audio coming up after the Fox News update. Plus, we've got open phones for you, 406-294-0970.